Okay. How do you feel about the meaning of your name? Jillian says she's not overly impressed with the meaning of Jillian. Is your name part of your identity? Is it a source of pride or affirmation for you? I don't think my parents knew when they named me. I'm Jane Elizabeth Swatridge. Jane means, and Jane is the feminine of John. So any Johns here, we have the same meaning. It means God's gracious gift. Now, Elizabeth means consecrated to God. I think that's rather interesting the way things turned out. Are you named after anyone, or is anyone named after you? How does it feel to be named after? Is that a part of your identity? Is that a part of your worth? Because sometimes these things carry on, right? For the ancient Hebrews, thousands of years ago, a person's name was everything. The name was given when the child was the grand old age of 8 days old. For boy babies, that was also the day of their circumcision, the sign of their covenant with God. The name would carry family significance and heritage, but it also indicated the child's status within the family as well as in the community. The firstborn son was most highly valued above any subsequent male children, depending on who bore the child. Was it your first wife? One of your other wives? Was it one of the slave girls or a concubine? And girl babies had no status whatsoever. They were just another mouth to feed until they were old enough to be traded for land or whatever dad could get for her. It's actually somewhat of a miracle just how many female names are recorded in the Old Testament. Their contributions to the faith are considerable and unique, but normally, a woman lived and died in those days without any record whatsoever. For the male children, it was believed that a name didn't merely identify the boy, but it was an essential part of their personality. It actually determined the course of their life. So a name declared who they were and who they would become. So when it came to the name of God, that was a name too holy to utter. To say the name of God was to address the totality of his nature, of his entire personality, the greatness of his glory, the magnitude of his love. To say his name was to invoke his power. It was believed that God would be deeply offended if any mere mortal were to defile the name of the Almighty by speaking it. So the Hebrews only referred to Yahweh by the four letters in his name. The entire name in Hebrew was never written or spoken. Only those letters. Scholars today aren't entirely sure if the letters were pronounced as a word or if they were said individually. And therefore God would be known by, you know, like we say, IBM. Seems very odd. But we don't even know how the earliest worshipers of one God called out to praise him or thank him or lament to God, or if they dared to at all. Well, somebody was using his name, and not nicely, because by Moses' time, we have command number 3. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, or as many of us may have memorized it in our childhood, thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. The direct translation from the Hebrew is actually, you shall not lift up the name of Yahweh, your God, for nothing. God's name is not to be used casually or for some idle purpose, like an expression of surprise or to fill a silence when we don't know what to say. Well, OMG. God hopes we'll pause to think about how and when we claim the power and attention of the Almighty God. We aren't to invoke the name of God for nothing, for empty, frivolous purposes. To call upon God is to seek his presence. Otherwise, it's a little bit like name dropping. Consider this. Would you want your name used to lend authority or credibility to dishonest dealings? Oh, yeah. Bill and Karen and Mike are totally behind this plan for condos in Nicaragua. Your money is absolutely safe, they say so. Something smells. So why would God be okay with invoking his name for empty promises or casual vows? When we drag him into blessings of weak intention or malicious curses, using God's name thoughtlessly has consequences that he sees way before we can see what's happening. When I was a wee little person, we moved on my 4th birthday. So the penchant for moving started early. It was on my 4th birthday. And so I got a new babysitter. Her name was Nancy. And Nancy came up with a nickname for me when I was so big. The nickname was not a particularly nice description, but at age 4, I heard it with the affection that she intended. Nancy was like a big sister, and I adored her. But the name stuck. I started hearing it from other kids and even adults at the church we attended. Nancy and I were at the same church growing up. A cute little affectionate name became hurtful. The specialness of our relationship was turning to resentment, and I started to avoid her. What are we doing to our relationship with God if we misuse his name? He will love us always. There is no question about that. He loves us even when we're hurtful and we forget to honor his holiness and perfection. When we treat casually the sanctity of that relationship with God by tossing his name around like some slang expression. This command is about care. Caring for that which is holy. God's gifts are holy. His invitation to know him and be in relationship with him is a holy and sacred thing. And the name above all names, which invokes his presence and his power. You know what else is holy? A Sabbath day. You know why? Because it's a gift from God, and he knows we need it. Sabbath is so important that God made it a command. Number four, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Followed by considerable detail about the parameters of Sabbath. Why? Because even God rested after fashioning the whole of creation. Because even Jesus indulged in regular, frequent periods of rest and retreat for prayer, for spiritual refreshment, for communion with his heavenly parent, and for friendship, as he often would retreat to Mary and Martha's house. God commanded the sanctity of Sabbath, respect for and protection around a time of rest, because God knows we are frail and forgetful creatures. And if we aren't told to rest in his presence, we won't give ourselves the time or the permission to do so. God commanded Sabbath because he knew that mortals would invent stress. He knew that we'd have deadlines, that we'd become control freaks, that we'd start to believe that we're indispensable at our places of employment. And because God knew that when Sunday turned into just another Saturday, it would do something to our relationships. To our relationship with God, to our relationships with our families, and so on. God commands a Sabbath because he knew that one day, the universal answer to the question, "How are you?" would be busy. How can we say that we know and love our God or anyone else if we put aside, we put off the opportunities to pause and to spend unhurried time? Sabbath is more than getting a nap in here and there. It includes the concept of devotion and focus. Jesus didn't go off by himself to catch some Z's or watch Netflix, as relaxing as that can be. Sabbath is for finding our refreshment and our peace in God, to be released of burdens and affirmed in our worth to God. Sabbath is for allowing God's strength to repair and rebuild us to wholeness. For the Hebrews, Sabbath is Saturday. For Christians, it's traditionally Sunday, the day of resurrection, we celebrate his victory by gathering on Sundays. But it's 2020, and Sunday isn't always an available day to come to church. It just isn't. However, this command isn't some dusty, old, irrelevant rule. The latest studies show that God really hit on something here. Tired is as dangerous as drunk. Fatigue contributes to stress and weight gain and crumbling relationships and career burnout. In other words, an unholy mess. When God asks us to honor and protect the holy, he's commanding us to be careful with his name, with his time, with ourselves. It won't always be Sunday that you can retreat and spend quiet time with God. That's not always possible. Take Sabbath when you can. Take just a moment. Maybe all the time you have is sitting in your car while it warms up on a cold day. Sit back and close your eyes. Keep in park. But sit back and just close your eyes and talk with God for a moment about your day, about where you're going to need him that day. Because he already knows all of the other places that we'll need him. If we can attend to number three and remember to hold God up as holy in this life, then we'll want to maintain number four and seek to spend time with the God who is the source of our wisdom and our comfort and our strength and all that makes us whole. Amen.